What's going on, everyone? This is Wesley here at the Pentecostals of Greenville. Thank you so much for joining us today. Wherever you're listening from, we hope that this podcast will encourage you today. We're so honored and excited to have a special guest with us. Evangelist Doug Smith is going to be joining us for our podcast. Great man of God, great preacher. We are looking forward to it. And I hope that you came prepared to listen and you came prepared to learn something today. So get the pens out, get the pencils, the notepads, the iPads, whatever it may be, and let's get to it. What's going on, everybody? You heard it in the intro, but this is Wesley here with the Pentecostals of Greenville. We are so honored to have Evangelist Doug Smith with us. He's been with us this weekend, and since we've been recording this, we had a great service this morning. Had seven souls baptized, and looking to forward to seeing what God's going to do tonight. But Brother Smith, we are so honored to have you not only here joining us for the podcast, but here at our church. We are just delighted to have you with us.
Yeah, let me say it's an absolute privilege to be with you on this podcast. And I look forward to what God is going to do and how he's going to speak through us.
Amen. So we're going to jump right in. I know you shared with the church this morning a little bit, and Pastor wanted to emphasize your testimony and how you got to where you are today. So if you don't mind just sharing a bit of your backstory and your testimony.
Absolutely. I have a unique testimony, how I came to God and how God found me and rescued me. I was in the downstairs of a drug dealer's house, and I felt like God was speaking to me. Didn't have a lot of religious background or training, anything of that nature, so I wasn't exactly sure what I was feeling. And so I just kind of ignored it. And a few minutes later, I felt like it happened again. I felt like God was reaching for me. So finally, I wrestled with this for a few minutes, and finally I decided to go to the upstairs of this house, and found a room that nobody was in, and shut the door, locked it, got on my knees and started praying best I knew how to pray. And I can remember, Wesley, praying and not really feeling anything. And so I stood up, and I can still recall what I said. I said, God, I'm not even sure if you're real, but if you are, just let me know somehow, some way. It was then that I went over to the edge of the house. I was looking out this window and seeing these clouds in the sky. It was nothing special or magical. I just was standing looking out the window, and there in that moment, I felt something come upon me from the top of my head all the way down to the sole of my feet, something I never felt in a drug or a pill or a drink. I said, all right, God, if that's your way of telling me that you're real, I'll pray to you again. And I got on my knees and started praying and started speaking words I didn't understand, started speaking a different language. When all was said and done, I realized I had received the Holy Ghost in that moment. So God found me in a very unique situation, but it was there in that moment I just gave everything to him.
Wow. Now, did you have any apostolic background?
I had some. I had been to church with my grandmother, my mother before, but no means was I in church or anything of that nature. So when I came in, that's the church I went to, I was definitely rough around the edges.
Gotcha.
There was a lot of training and patience from my pastor when it came to me working in the church and later on following in the ministry.
Wow. Once you were getting in church, and when you really felt that call, did you feel a call to go into ministry? Did you feel a call to evangelize? I know you went to IBC. How did that really sort of unfold?
Well, it was in probably the first year of being in church. I was around 17 years old, about to graduate high school, and I could feel this calling on my life, trying to understand and determine what to do and how to respond to that. And so I went to my pastor, and he had had me preach at the church before, and I felt that burden to go to Bible college. And it was there in Bible college that I started working with our young people at the church, being involved in youth ministry. But as long as I can remember, even knowing that God had a call on my life, I always knew to be an evangelist is what I was called to be. Sometimes God shows you the end, but he doesn't show you what it's going to take to get there.
Right.
You don't understand. He'll show you the end result, but he's not going to tell you all the hills you're going to have to climb, all the valleys you're going to have to crawl through, all the difficulties you're going to have to endure. So in that moment, I knew I was called, but it wasn't until years later, in 2009, when I officially stepped out and followed the path of evangelism for my life.
Wow, wow. That's powerful. And, you know, for anybody that's listening, maybe you're in that season where it feels like God's called you and you don't know necessarily what direction or what steps to take. You know, being an evangelist is a lot different than preaching.
Sure.
You know, from what I've seen, you know, at least from preaching your normal Sunday morning service, you're traveling from place to place, not knowing every crowd, you're not knowing every congregation. So when you're prepping, you know, for a service, whether it be a Wednesday night or a Sunday, what is your typical prep and sermon prep look like on a weekly basis?
Sure. It's definitely different because you're going into different places, different situations.
Right.
And not every location is going to be the same. Going into a church that just started is a whole lot different than going to a church that's been established for 50 years.
Right.
So trying to gauge where you're going to be at, what the people need. So I'll try to spend a little time in prayer to get an understanding what direction I need to go. But typically on Sundays, I've put it into my spirit that I'm reaching for souls. I'm going to be going for new people, those that maybe have never followed after God, never received the Holy Ghost, never been baptized, maybe don't even know if they believe in God. So that's the ones I'm ultimately going for. Because regardless if it's a new church, an established church, big church, small church, city church, country church, you want people saved.
Right.
Everybody wants that to happen.
Yeah.
So if you can do that, that's what the role of the evangelist is, to reach people with salvation, to do whatever needs to be done so that somebody has the gospel.
Right. Yeah. And I know this wasn't in our notes beforehand, but you're just by hearing you today, and this was my first time hearing you actually in person. But you're just so into the word. I know you were up there for 5-10 minutes just quoting scripture back to back, and I know you've studied for many years over that, but how is how do you get to that level, and then two, how do you feel that knowing all that affects your ministry?
So I remember I was a senior in Bible college. I knew that God had called me to evangelize. I hadn't stepped out yet, but I had this desire come over me to learn the word, to understand what the scriptures say, to be able to flow and operate in that kind of ministry. And so I'd listen to other people, and sometimes they could quote the scripture, but they couldn't give the reference. So they could reference the scripture, but not be able to quote the whole verse.
Right.
And I thought to myself, I'm probably doing the exact same thing. I just don't even know that I'm doing it. So I made up my mind I was going to start working on scripture memorization and implementing that into sermons. And so when I first started, I was trying to, maybe my sights were a little different. I wanted to start learning like whole chapters and books to be able to quote whole books of the Bible. What I found out real fast, that's extremely difficult.
Yeah.
it takes a lot of time and energy and effort. And I was doing that, but after a while I found it was better to start learning key verses, maybe particular verses about a subject, and I could put those together. And then while I'm ministering and preaching, if I'm speaking on a certain subject, I could flow with that subject. I could go off 5, 10, 15 scriptures, and it all goes in together. That made a huge impact, just preaching. Because you asked before about my sermon prep. The way I do things is definitely different, I would say, than most people, how they build sermons and messages. This is something I've been doing for close to 15 to 20 years. Instead of designing particular sermons, I started focusing on learning certain Bible stories and illustrations. For example, John chapter 9 talks about the blind man. So I'll take that chapter and I'll learn it. I'll try to memorize it the best I can and find certain points that I could preach, certain points that are relatable to people, how that might minister to them. So when I'm getting ready to go to a new church or a church that we'd been at before, I sit down, and instead of building a brand new sermon, I might take a new thought, a new text, a new title, but I'll take those illustrations that I've already learned, memorized, and I'll put that into the sermon. And then I'll just build bridges and transitions. And if you do that, you can build a library, a catalog of illustrations and stories and testimonies of miracles and healings that have taken place. And that way you can just insert that into the sermon almost any time.
Wow. Well, that's definitely interesting and unique. You don't necessarily hear a lot of guys out there building or prepping sort of and building that sermon like that. But that you could definitely tell it in your preaching. Even today, hearing how that flows, it's definitely unique. And so something else that just over the years, it seems on an evangelist side, it may be a little bit more difficult to do this, but how do you handle personal outreach when you're evangelizing? So again, you're traveling all across the U.S. on an almost weekly basis, and Bible study teaching and stuff like that. When you think about it, it seems that it may be almost impossible with your traveling. But at the same time, we're called to reach souls just as much in the coffee shop than we are standing behind a pulpit. So how does that look for you?
So it definitely could be challenging, especially if you're going into new places where you don't know anybody.
Right.
Sometimes we go into a church and we've never been there and we've never met the pastor and we don't know anybody in the congregation. But I have found out through the years that people are really the same. They want to feel loved, they want to be known, and they want to be cared about. So much. Whenever you go into a restaurant or a hotel or a store, there's just something so small that can open up, that can give you an opportunity just to show kindness and love and compassion. And if you can look for those moments where somebody's feeling maybe down or discouraged, just in their emotions or the way they're presenting themselves, just sending a kind word, just being gracious to them, sometimes that opens up into a conversation. Right. Then I can connect them to the local church and, if possible, teach a Bible study to them, depending on how long we're going to be in the area. But at minimum, connecting them to somebody in the church that can care for them.
Okay. Yeah, that's great, being able to reach the people and helping individual communities, building their church growth and stuff like that. So you said, obviously, you've been doing this for quite some time and evangelizing and just being in the ministry for quite a while. What would your advice be for any young aspiring ministers, whether they feel the call, whether they, you know they've been called, maybe they're already in Bible college. What would your advice be for them?
I definitely think there's an old saying that says consistency is key.
Mm-hmm.
Just being consistent, supportive of your pastor, supportive of your local church, doing whatever needs to be done. For many years, my dream, my passion, my vision was to go out to preach, to help other churches. But I can't help other churches if I don't help my own church first.
Right.
Stand behind my pastor, stand behind my congregation. And so if there's anything that's ever paid dividends for me, it's just being constant, being faithful. Like we said before, you may have an end result, a goal that you're wanting to achieve, a place in the kingdom, whether it's pastoring or evangelizing or missionary or working in the medical field with a purpose to help the church. Whatever it is you see yourself in the end goal, you have to be consistent in reaching that goal. So it's a step-by-step journey. It's day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, doing what you know is right. Praying, worshiping, fasting, giving of yourself. God looks for those that are willing. He's not, there's a saying that I heard a long time ago and it's always rang true to me. I've always felt it is so true, it is so helpful, and it's so accurate. And that goes like this: God doesn't call the qualified, He qualifies the called.
Amen.
He doesn't call those with perfection, those with all the talent and ability, but instead He gives the talent and ability, opportunity to those that are willing.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's so valuable. People, like you said, looking, they see the end. They see the end results, and
sure,
and they see guys like yourself and other, you know, evangelists who are traveling everywhere, or pastors who are, you know, pastoring very large churches, and they desire to be like that, desire to be in that position, but yet they're not committed, or they're not wanting to do the behind the scenes work that happens every day at a local church. And
absolutely,
you know, being just getting involved, I think, is one of those first steps that is absolutely crucial for any ministry.
Sure. One scripture that's always rang true to me is Proverbs 18:16. It says, "A man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men." In time, the gifting that God has called you, the purpose, the plan, it's going to unfold, but it's going to unfold in God's timing. Sometimes we get confused about God's will and God's timing. It was God's will for me to marry my wife, but not when I was 12 years old.
Right.
But in God's timing, He made it true. It was God's will for me to be an evangelist, but not when I was 16 years old and 18 years old. It's God's timing. So there's a chance that maybe somebody today is listening in, and you might really know God's will for your life. But don't just know God's will, be in God's timing.
Mm.
Don't go too early. Don't stay and go too late. But get right in that perfect moment that I know I'm in God's will and I know I'm in God's time.
Wow. Well, that's powerful. I got one more question that it just sort of popped to me, and I wanted to ask you, how do, again, with traveling and stuff like that, your wife and son?
Yes.
I believe so.
Yeah, my wife and son.
Yeah, they weren't able to be with us this weekend, but how do you manage that? Because, you know, ministry takes time. Even being in the local church, when you're very active, it seems like sometimes family time gets hard, and you got to, you know, we're making time, obviously, for the ministry. We're making time for our family. How do you deal with that when they're not able to travel as often as you may like and as they may like?
One of the toughest keys in all of ministry, I've found to be true is balance. We don't want to get out of balance one way or the other way.
Right.
And I've seen before, and I'm sure you have as well, individuals that get very involved in ministry and then their family suffers in return. Or get very involved in ministry and then there's another aspect of their life that's neglected. Solomon said this in Proverbs 11:1. He said, a false balance is an abomination to the Lord. So I've got to work on myself consistently. Am I balanced? Am I working for God, building His church, but am I also working with my family? Am I showing them love and kindness, spending time with those that I care about so much? And so oftentimes it's a balancing act, trying to make sure that while we put God first, we don't want to let our family suffer. We don't want our family to pay consequences for us being out of balance. So typically most of the time they are with me, probably 95% of the time.
Okay.
But there are these moments, weekends, handful of weekends a year probably, that I go by myself and they're not with me. And I try to make sure that they have a place where they can go to feel refreshed and encouraged and strengthened. Because above all else, we got to stay centered and focused with the local church.
Amen.
And so I think that's probably the biggest key, is making sure whatever it is, pastoring or evangelizing, ministry, that there's a local church, a body of believers that you can stay in contact with.
Wow. Wow. Well, once again, thank you so much for being with us. If, you know, if anyone that's listening, wherever, again, you may be on your journey through your walk with the Lord, wherever it may be, you know, just encourage that God's with you. He's with you every step of the way, that He's it's His timing, as we said before. So trust in Him. And we're going to let you close out. If you have a last word of advice, if you want to close out in prayer, we're just going to let you close out this podcast today.
Sure. Well, anybody that's listening, know that we believe in you. We're praying for you. I know it's the desire of my friend that this podcast be a ministry and a help to others. And know this, that with God, all things are possible. There's nothing that you cannot do. If there's a life, you can live it. There's a star, you can reach it. There's a job, you can do it. There's a class, you could teach it. There's a book, you can write it. There's a degree, you can earn it. There's a business, you can build it. Barrier, you can break it. There's a song, you can sing it. There's a gospel, you can preach it. There's a hell, you can miss it. There's a heaven, you can make it. Paul said in Philippians 4:13, we can do all things through Christ. So wherever you may be, know that there is nothing too hard for God. And if He is with us, we can do all things. So we want to leave you with this prayer today. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that Your blessing would go to each and to every individual that is listening. We pray that favor and guidance and wisdom be sent to where they are, to walk in Your perfect will, to accomplish Your plan and Your purpose. We pray the blessings of the Lord would overflow and they would overwhelm. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.